Father, this morning we thank you for your presence. God, we thank you that there is no one higher than you. There is no one greater than our God. Father, I pray that it would be something we would never forget. God, even as we walk through our day, we would never forget there is no one higher. There is no one greater. There is none more able than you. Lord, we love you. We pray that as we hear your word this morning, that you would speak to us. Speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. Have your way in us. We love you. We give you the rest of the service, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Philip, and our worship team. Truly, there is no one higher nor greater than Jesus Christ himself, and I think that's something that we need to hear today, that he is above everything, that there's none more able, for Christ is still able to save, praise God, and we worship him today. Thank you so much, Philip and band, for leading us in that. I'll tell you how much I appreciate Philip and his work that he does here. I've been in Philip's shoes, and I understand what he has to do. My dad was also a music minister as well, and a lot of people believe that music ministers or worship pastors, whatever you want to call them, that all they do is pick three or four songs and then wait for Sunday. Well, that's not the truth. There's a lot of planning and preparation that goes along with it. He has to work with several people, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that he has to do, and I'm very thankful for him and our musicians, very thankful for our media crew. They do such a wonderful job here, and so I just want to express my gratitude to them. Also, very thankful for Pastor Lee. He's out of town today, and so he's allowing me to share his pulpit or his table. And, okay, I was waiting for that. All right, so, but I'm very thankful for Pastor Lee. He sent me an email a couple weeks ago. He said he was going to be out of town on this Sunday. He said, since the high school kids are getting back from the retreat, would you like to preach? And I said, sure, I'd be glad to. I promise not to embarrass you. And so we'll see where it goes today. But I'm very thankful for Pastor Lee. And what a great group of students, again, that we had this weekend. We were very blessed as we spoke on several different attributes of what it means to be a Christian and all the things involved in it and how it all comes from God. And we spoke on joy, about how joy, as we abide in Christ, that natural fruit is produced in us. It shows through us, and we can express our joy. Sadly, people who do not have a relationship with Christ that are lost, they don't know what joy is because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They only know happiness. Happiness comes from the world. Joy comes from God, and joy is everlasting. But that happiness is manufactured here on this earth, and that's why we have to go out and express our joy by sharing Christ with them. And we also talked about obedience, about how God calls us to be obedient to Him. And when we're obedient, we show that we love God. We talked about Mary and her act of obedience when the angel of the Lord came to her and told her about her giving birth to Jesus Christ. We talked about forgiveness. How about forgiveness is a big thing with Christians. Sadly, Christians today have trouble forgiving, but we can forgive as we've been forgiven. Bryce DeGeer said it in front of the guys. He said that we ought to forgive, and listen to this, we ought to forgive at the same extent that we've been forgiven. Boy, that's big. He's going to be a preacher someday. And so, but he shared that with us. We talked about, as Maddie said, that we've been lavished with love, that God poured His love out to us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we talked last night about God's holiness and His greatness. And truly, that as we sang this morning, there is no one higher or greater than our God. But I'm going to tell you, here in this past month and a half, almost 2 months that Ash and I have been here, we've been very blessed by this church. I'm excited to be a part of it, to get to be a part of the students' life, and that they get to be a part of my life, and that blesses me. I have an opportunity to work with a fantastic staff here. We really have a great staff. I know Ashley's really enjoyed getting to be with the pastor's wife and hang out with them. And my wife, I'll just go ahead and tell you, I love my wife very much. I mean, first of all, she's smoking hot. She is. Praise the Lord. Yes. And I'm very thankful for her. She is a godly woman who is madly in love with Jesus Christ. And I'm very thankful for her. Man, I'll tell you what, if she ever left me, I'd go with her. She's just that great. So, but I'm just so grateful for my family. But you know, the day of the party, that morning when we had the individuals come down here and share the gospel in all these different languages, man, that was powerful. That was really neat to see, and how God used that on social media, how it's just been growing and being pushed out. Really neat. And then as we went out to the field out here and we had the public baptisms, man, that was awesome. We had almost 600 people here that day to witness that. And as cars were driving by, they noticed These people being baptized, they noticed this big crowd. That was pretty awesome. My four-year-old son, Noah, he's about to be five, and he's in Natalie Gass's little cat's class, and he loves Miss Natalie, by the way, Justin, so watch out. And but he loves that class. But Noah, he's a very bright kid. He said to us, he goes, "Daddy, those people out there are being baptized." And I said, "Yes, they are being baptized." And he goes, "Yeah, they're being baptized because they believe Jesus in their heart." And I'm like, wow, my four-year-old son, man, he already knows more than Joel Osteen. I'm just blown away by that. I'm kidding, of course. Forgive me. I've already gotten a dirty look. I see that. I am teasing. But he really did say that. And I tell you this about my son Noah, because whenever we share things with Noah about God, about what God can do and what God has done, I mean, you should see his eyes light up. When we tell him about how God parted the Red Sea, his eyes light up. When we tell him about how God shut the mouths of the lions, that his eyes just get so big. And his reaction, his response to it is amazing. And I'll tell you why, because he is amazed by God. He is just blown away by God. And one day, he's saying the right things. He's asking the right questions. One day, my son Noah is going to put his faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm praying for him that he makes that decision soon, and that it's real, and that he actually understands it. But right now, he is just blown away by God. And as I look at my son, I have to think to myself, am I really that excited about God? Am I really standing in awe of who God truly is? Church, think about that today for us. Are we really in awe of God Almighty? Do we stand amazed in His presence as we've sang already? We have to be in awe of God. I once had a pastor friend of me who said this. He said, "I think one of the biggest downfalls of the modern church today is that we have lost being in awe of God." And as I thought about it, he started explaining, and he says that if we were truly in awe of God, that we would have complete reverence for God. He says that if we were truly in awe of God, we would completely submit to God. He says, if we were truly in awe of God, God's people would not miss worship services. Amen? Yes. He says, if we were in awe of God, that we'd be completely repentive over our sin. That if we were in awe of God, that we would boldly share the gospel, because we know we live in a lost and dying world that's going straight to hell in a handbasket. And we have to be willing to share the gospel. And he also said, if we are in awe of God, Jesus Christ would be the priority. Think about that. Not just a priority, not just one of, but the priority in our life. So ask yourself that question today. Is Jesus Christ really the priority in my life? And I've had to ask myself that question too. And please understand, as I preach this morning, as I say this to you, please understand, I've already preached this to myself like three or four times. I had to look at myself. I have put my family before God. I have put my job before God. I put finances before God. I put just whatever you name it. I know that in my life, my own personal life, that I have put that before Jesus Christ. And I'm guilty of it. Thank goodness God forgives me. Thank goodness God restores us. And we're very appreciative of that, obviously. But I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful that God is just right there, that we can just turn and look to Him, and we can make Him the priority again. Today I want to turn our attention to Scripture, and I'm going to ask if you'd join me in Psalm chapter 24. This is one of my favorite passages in all the Scripture and all the Bible. I just love this passage because it glorifies King Jesus, and I just love it. And this morning, I'm going to ask, out of reverence of the reading of God's Word, I'm going to ask as a church that we would stand together as we read God's Word together. And this is it, Psalm 24, starting in verse 1. Says this, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is He, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're just very thankful for who You are. And God, as we read your word today, as we study your word today, I just pray, God, that your message would not lay on deaf ears, but God, our hearts would be changed. God, that as we leave here today, that we would be encouraged, that we would have a new spring in our step, that you would be the hand upon our back. God, that you just give us boldness to tell of the greatness of God and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray today, if there is anyone in this room who has never put their faith in Jesus Christ, I pray that they would settle it today, that today would be the day of their salvation. God, may you be glorified in this time. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In verse 1, this says, "For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." You know what this is saying? Very simple. Everything belongs to Jesus Christ. Everything belongs to Jesus Christ. That's our lives, our own personal lives. That's our family. That's our time. That's our money. You name it. Everything that we have a possession of belongs to Jesus Christ. I will tell you, because of sin, mankind has just become naturally selfish. We become like those birds on Finding Nemo. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mine, mine, mine. And that's how we are. And if you don't think mankind is selfish, try spending an afternoon with a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and you'll know what I'm talking about, okay? So mankind is naturally selfish. Our lives belong to Jesus Christ. Our time belongs to Jesus Christ. Look what it says in Psalm chapter 100, verse 3. It says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." He created us. He made us. We belong to Him. Everything that we have belongs to Jesus Christ. I remember as when my son Noah was born, and like I said, he's about to be 5 coming up next month, and I shared this story with our students. I also shared it with Emma Goldberg the other night about how when Noah was born, I finally got it. Now, I was a Christian. I became a Christian at the age of 16, and I understood that, yes, God loved me. I accepted it. I knew it. I knew that Christ died for my sins, that He rose from the grave, and I got that. I understood it. But that day that Noah was born and I held him for the first time, I finally got it. And parents, I think you know what I'm talking about. I finally understood how much God loved me, about how much God loves you. And as I'm sitting there holding my son, for the very first time, they wrapped him up in the towel, and you know, Ashley, you know, she's just there doing nothing, and you know what I'm talking about. The doctors were with her, and the doctor and the nurses were with her, and I'm just sitting there holding my son, and I'm like, my goodness, God loves me, and I'm just sitting there looking at my baby boy thinking, I would never give him up for anything, yet God did that for me. All my filth, all my junk, everything wrong with me, God traded His own son for me. God traded His own son for you. And I got that at that moment, just a very awesome moment. And as I'm just holding my son, I said, God, he's yours. And I'm just holding him, holding him up higher. And I'm turning to look, and the doctor's looking at me. And oh, sorry. But no, but I really did. I really held him up. And I said, God, he is yours. He's not mine. God, you just blessed me to be his father. And I'm very thankful for that. But he is yours. Our children belong to God. Everything that we have, our time. Look at what it says in Matthew 6:33, "For seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness." We are to seek God with our time and His righteousness. Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus Christ." We are to honor God with our time, our money. Psalm 50:10, "For He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills." My wife and I, we still have not sold our house in Vernon. And we're concerned, we're not worried, because God has, you know, given us strength at this time. But I'll tell you this, and some of you may have been there, 2 house payments is not fun. Okay, thank you. All right, yeah, 2 house payments is not fun. But I will tell you this, God owns my money. God owns that house. And nothing is too big for God. So those 2 house payments, you know what? God's going to take care of that because He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Everything we have in our life, all of our possessions, they actually belong to God. Now, if we're in awe of God, we're going to know that God is in complete control. Now, let's look at verse 2. "For He founded it upon the seas and He established it upon the water." Psalm 136 says, "It was Him," talking about Jesus, "who spread out the earth upon the waters, for His love endures forever." Think about that. God is the creator of all that we see. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by Him," talking about Jesus, "all things were created in heaven and on earth. For the earth was created by and for Jesus Christ." And I love what he says here about how it's founded upon the seas. And I hope you all understand, this is actually talking about a physical thing, that Jesus Christ founded what we stand on today upon the seas. He did that just for us. Pretty awesome to think about that. So I ask you today, do you stand in awe of God as your creator? Verse 3 and 4, this is very powerful. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. That's a very interesting saying. Ascend to the hill of the Lord. This is what it's asking. How are we welcomed into God's presence? How are you welcomed into God's presence? First of all, we have to understand this, that sin is not allowed in the presence of God. Why? Because He is holy. Because He is perfect. He is pristine. He is so completely pure. We can't even fathom, we can't even wrap our minds around how holy God is, but He cannot allow sin into His presence. Psalm 5:4 says, "For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you." God will not allow sin in His presence. But one thing we do know, that our sin can be completely forgiven. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And that's awesome. First of all, God can allow sin into His presence. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior for your sins to be forgiven. Christians, if we're holding sin in our heart, we need to repent of that sin. We need to turn from it and go back towards God. The Bible says here, and this is very important, in Psalm 66:18, "If I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord does not listen." Think about that. If I hold on to sin in my heart, God's not going to hear my prayers. So I'm sorry, Garth Brooks, I know people like your song, but it's biblically wrong, okay? Y'all like that? Okay, I just came up with a little rhyme there, okay? So apparently we do have a lot of fans of that song, and I just made you mad. So, all right, but no, we have to understand, if we are cherishing sin in our heart, God will turn His ear from us. We need to confess our sins and be right with God. For Christ is our only hope and purity. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake, He made Him," Jesus Christ, "who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." So why can God not allow sin? Again, because it's His holy. Because He's holy, I believe it's His greatest attribute. Isaiah 57:15 says this, "For this is what the High and Exalted One says, 'He who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit.'" See, God desires us to be broken over our sin. Why? Because it puts us in a right relationship with God. So I ask you today, are you in awe of God's holiness? Are you in awe of His greatness? Are you also in awe because He is the remedy for our sin? Moving on to verse 5, it says that He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, His Savior. Blessing and vindication from God. You know, want to understand something? I think today, this word blessing, that it is probably misconstrued, misused, that people will say the phrase, "Well, I'm so blessed." Do you all realize probably about 99% of the time when people say that, they're talking about material things? Sadly, that's just kind of how we are as human beings. Now, back in the Old Testament, when God blessed them, He gave them a lot of land, gave them they were fruitful and had a lot of children, gave them a lot of money, and they were blessed by that. But today, this is what it's talking about. Here, as we live in the New Testament church, when we are blessed today, it's because of the presence of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're blessed. My church in Vernon, there was a lady named Billy Talbot, and she was probably, I'm going to say, in her mid-80s. Such a sweet lady. And she was all bent over like that, had a cane. And I would just go talk to her, and I said, "How are you, Miss Talbot?" And she had to look up at me, and she'd say, "I'm blessed and highly favored." And I said, "Lady, you low to the floor. What are you talking about?" No, but she, okay. Apparently my jokes aren't kicking in today. So, but I look at her and I really believe that, yes, she is blessed. She was a godly woman who loves Jesus Christ, and she really was a blessed lady, and she loves Jesus Christ. And I remember hearing her say that, and I'm like, yes, we are blessed. Yes, we are highly favored because we are the children of God. We are blessed because of God's presence. This is what it says here. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. See, we are blessed by the presence of God because there is pleasure forevermore. The word vindication simply means this, that God is our defense. And we sang about that this morning, Psalm 18, 1 through 3. I love you, Lord, my God, my strength. The Lord is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. So God is our defense, first of all, from sin, because he sent his son Jesus Christ to die in our place. He has defended us from sin. He has defended us from hell. We are truly justified through Jesus Christ. Romans 4:25 says, Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. So are we all in the presence of God? I remember singing this as a kid as my dad would lead the music where he says, I stand amazed in the presence, y'all remember this, of Jesus the Nazarene. And I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. For how marvelous and how wonderful is the Savior's love for me. Truly, we stand amazed because God is such a gracious and a loving and holy God. And we stand amazed in his presence. Verse 6, such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. God calls his people to seek him. God wants us to seek him for several different reasons. And I'll tell you this. First of all, if you are lost, the Holy Spirit's going to give you the power to seek Jesus Christ as your Savior. Isaiah 59:1 says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. Christians, we need to seek God for our guidance. 1 Chronicles 16:11, look to the Lord in his strength and seek his face always. We need to seek God to also know him. Psalm 14:2, for the Lord looks down from heaven upon all mankind to see if there are anyone who understand and any who seek God. God is looking for his people to seek his face. Now, I'll be honest, I have prayed for God to move, said, God, I need you to move. I need your hand to move. I need you to do this and I need you to do that. And I've sought the hand of God that sometimes I miss his face. And I want y'all to see this. We look for the things of God and we say, God, I need you to move in this area of my life. God, I need you to take care of this. God, I need you to do that. But we miss Jesus himself altogether. We can seek the hand of God, and we can miss his face at times. And there's nothing with asking God to move. There's nothing wrong with saying, God, I need your help in this. But truly, if we seek the face of God, naturally, his hand will move. And I think we need to hear that today. That's a big, big thing. Verse 7. This is a great verse right here. Lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Lift up and open the gates. This is talking about the everlasting doors. His dwelling place is eternal. Psalm 92, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. We serve an everlasting God. And we're going to be in eternity with him one day. And we're going to worship the King of glory. Now, think about this. Here on earth, I think we also, yes, we want to stand in all the presence of God. But we also need to get excited about the presence of God. We need to get excited about coming here on Sundays. We need to get excited about coming here on Wednesdays or being part of a connect group or being part of a grow group, being part of our Sunday morning Bible studies, whatever that the case might be. We need to get excited about being in the presence of God and also being with God's people. Now, I'm going to give you a little example here. Next week, let's say Billy Graham is coming to preach next week. Boy, that'd be a great honor for our church to have him. And Billy Graham is coming next week. You know what we would do this next coming week? David and Sean would spit shine this auditorium. They would make sure everything looks good and clean throughout the church. We would be putting everything out on social media. We would get the word out. We would visit people and say, we need you to come to church. We'd be presenting the gospel. Why? Because Billy Graham, the greatest preacher of our time, is coming to preach here at Church of the Crossing. Well, I'm going to tell you something. He is just a man, a faithful man of God, yes. But why in the world can we not do that throughout the week? Because we're saying we're coming together to meet with God. And we get excited about silly things in life, but yet we can't get excited about the presence of God. When I was a kid, I got excited about a lot of things. I was a very hyper kid, by the way, if you can't tell already. You just ask my parents. They're sitting over there. I was a very, very hyper child. There was a lot of things that got me excited, but there was one thing that just ruled my world. And y'all knew what that was? Professional wrestling. Anybody with me? I love professional wrestling. Man, I just, Billy, I see you over there. Yeah, I love professional wrestling. And I'm going to tell you, I grew up in the greatest era of professional wrestling with the immortal Hulk Hogan, the Nature Boy Ric Flair, woo! Yeah, and the Macho Man Randy Savage, ooh yeah! Y'all know what I'm talking about. But I loved all the guys. I just loved wrestling altogether. My parents would have to literally pry me off the TV on Monday nights and Thursday nights and Saturday nights. And I just loved it. Matter of fact, I broke a couple of beds from like throwing stuff around. That's actually a true story. And so I just got so excited. But I loved them all. But there was one individual that I just loved. He was my absolute favorite wrestler. And I remember when his music would hit, oh, I'd get up on my, and I'd start running in place, and I'd get so excited. I'd start throwing things across the room, and man, I was so pumped up because the man was coming in the building, and his name was the Ultimate Warrior. Play that for us, Bill. There you go. Turn that bad boy up. Y'all see that right there? That's the Ultimate Warrior right there. All right, here it comes. All right, you go ahead and turn that off. Yeah. I can just see my mom right now. I can't believe he just held professional wrestling church. How dare him. Hey, listen, you don't mess with my mama, okay? She used to say stuff like, boy, I'm going to spin your head off like a lid on a pickle jar. You better watch out. She's a tough lady. And so, but no, I show you this video. I know it's kind of humorous, kind of silly, but I show you this video because I would get so excited because the man was in the building. But yet today, we just come here sometimes in a lackadaisical way. Sometimes we're forced to come here. We get caught up in the daily grind of life. But I say, as God's people, we come here to meet with God Almighty, with God's people, celebrating who God is and the love He has for us. Dead gummit, we need to get excited. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Now I'm going to read these last two verses for you. And it says this right here. For who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is He, this King of glory, the Lord Almighty? He is the King of glory. Jesus Christ is the only King. He is the true King of glory. There is none other than Christ Himself. Isaiah 44, 6 through 8 says this. This is Jesus speaking to Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare it and set it before me. Since I appointed an ancient people, let them declare it what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from the old and declare it? Are you not my witnesses? Is there any God besides me? And Jesus himself says, no, there is no other rock. I know not one. God in all his wisdom and all his great glory, he says this, I don't even know of any other God. No one stands beside me. No one can come even close to me because he is God Almighty and he is worthy of our worship. So I ask today, do we stand in awe of the one true God, Jesus Christ? When we think about his life, the King of glory. As he was born of a virgin birth, Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit, born in a lowly stable, a lowly manger because there was no room in the inn. We've heard that story during Christmas time. Jesus Christ lived this life as a perfect, sinless person. He never lived as a glorious king, lived as a humble servant. The week before he was crucified, he rode into Jerusalem on some sorry donkey, and the people chanted, Hosanna in the highest. Later he was arrested, and at the time that he was brought before Pontius Pilate said, I see no fault in this man. And he said to the people that, I'll trade you Jesus for Barabbas. They said, no, give us Barabbas, crucify Jesus. And there he began his punishment. As he was beaten, as he was whipped, as he was spat upon, the beard ripped from his face, a crown of thorns just smashed into his brow. And then they nailed him to a Roman cross. And he hung there completely butchered, bruised, unrecognizable. People hurled insults at him, cursed his name, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And with his very last breath, he cries out the great phrase that we say, it is finished. As the old hymn says, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would He devote that sacred head for a sinner such as I? Jesus Christ took His last breath. But church, we know that was not the end. As we sang this morning, praise the King, He is risen. Jesus Christ rose victoriously from the grave. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Praise be to God that we have victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And church, I hope we understand this today. That same man that was crucified for our sins, the same man that rose from the grave, one day the King of glory is going to return. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation 19 that the sky is going to split open like a scroll, and the King of glory Himself is going to make His way down. Oh, but this time He is not going to be riding on some pot-bellied donkey. Oh, no, He's going to be riding on a great white steed whose rider's name is faithful and true, and His eyes will be that of a fiery blaze, and upon His head is going to be a crown with many diadems, and out of His mouth is going to come a sword which He's going to strike down the nations with, and He's going to tread that winepress with the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And He's going to be wearing a robe that's been dipped in blood. And His name is the Word of God. And upon His leg is going to say, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Church of the Living God, do we stand in awe of the King of Glory? For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. For who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in the holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. So lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. So lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is He, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Church, His name is Jesus Christ. Praise God. Let's pray together. Father God, I just want to say thank You so much for who You are. God, I'll tell You that I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for where I've been so flippant about Your presence. God, for where I have not stood in awe of You. For where I'm not amazed of who You are, for what You can do. God, I just pray that You would restore my heart and restore the joy of my salvation. God, I pray for these people in here today, Lord, that You would speak to them. God, that they would just turn towards You. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we would just leave here just in an immense awe of who You are. God, I know that we're just not blowing words into air, but God, we're crying out to the one true God, Jesus Christ. And God, we know that You are all-powerful. You're the God who split the Red Sea open. You're the God who shut the mouths of the lions. You're the same God who rose His Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. And we cry out to You today, asking for You to forgive us. God, that You would restore us. And God, just may we just leave here and just live every single day just being in awe of who You are. Where most importantly today, I pray that if there is anyone here who's never put their faith in Jesus, I pray again, Lord, that today would be their day of salvation. God, that they would settle it. That they would see somebody before this day's over. God, again, I just want to say thank You so much for loving us, for forgiving us. God, I'm not even worthy to speak these words today, but because of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we have been made righteous. God, I just want to tell You, Lord, that I love You, and above all else, I worship You. And I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.